This is On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. Georgia will probably never forget the moment 20 years ago when a bomb exploded in Centennial Olympic Park. The man behind that attack and several others in the South was Florida native Eric Rudolph. Rudolph was arrested after a 5-year manhunt, and he's now serving 4 consecutive life sentences in a Colorado federal prison. Richard Jaffe served as Rudolph's defense attorney before he pleaded guilty in 2005, and he joins us this morning. Hi, Richard.
Good morning, Celeste.
You were partly assigned to this case or chosen for this case because of your experience with death penalty cases. And I wonder what drew you to that particular side of the law?
You're talking about to death penalty work?
Yeah, death penalty cases.
Well, when I was a very young lawyer, a state judge more or less forced me to take a case involving a African-American individual who was convicted, and I think wrongly, for death penalty offense. And I was on that case for 19 years, and ultimately he was totally exonerated. And in fact, he passed away last week, very sadly. And after that, I defended a number of other individuals and at new trials was able to win their freedoms. And all of those individuals are doing wonderfully now. All of them lead productive lives and are contributors to society. So that's how I got into it, and that's what drew me to it, was making a difference in that area.
What went through your head when it became clear you were going to be representing Eric Rudolph?
Well, I was actually in a federal trial representing an attorney when the particular judge presiding on my trial was assigned the Eric Rudolph case. And a number of individuals across the United States strongly requested that he appoint me as lead lawyer in the case. And I accepted. The first thing that came to my mind was that Eric Rudolph needs to know a number of things about me, some my experience, but also some of my political beliefs. There aren't like his, and also that I was Jewish, and he had expressed historically some
very strongly anti-Semitic feelings. Yeah.
Well, he had expressed anti-Semitic feelings, but you have to understand that I spent a long time discussing these with him and many other topics with him. And that was the first discussion we had to make sure that he was okay with it, because as a criminal defense lawyer, we normally except challenging cases.
How did that discussion go?
It went really well. It was only about 20 minutes, and he expressed no hesitation. And I reported back to the judge, and then I was the lead lawyer. And then I built a team and also worked with the Atlanta team, who was had excellent lawyers.
Do you think that Eric Rudolph, at least in the courtroom, got a presumption of innocence?
I think he did. He got a presumption of innocence because there was nothing absolutely clear about the Birmingham case, although it was a pretty good circumstantial case with the car tag leaving, et cetera. And in the Atlanta case, there was virtually hardly any evidence. Almost there was no direct evidence in the Atlanta cases, I should say. So he had a presumption of innocence, which dissipated, of course, when he ultimately pleaded guilty and admitted involvement. I've always questioned and will always question, as I did in the book I wrote concerning this, it was a part of the book, whether he could have really pulled this off alone, even in Birmingham, much less at the Atlanta locations. And I will always question that.
Yeah, you suggest that he may have had help. Why do you think that?
I just don't think there's any individual that could have pulled off 4 different bombings by themselves in areas in which he didn't live. They were very complex. It's just, to me, it was just no way. But Eric Rudolph was, a true believer and unfortunately misguided in a significant, serious, extreme way. But he was never going to flip on anyone that might have helped him. Now, where I disagree with Kevin, who I understand is the survivalist, but actually there were 3 summer camps. There were 3 camps, a summer camp, a winter camp, and then the FBI camp that he visited that overlooked Murphy. And there's no way he had help, because one of the FBI's and government's main purposes after he was arrested and before was to find someone that could help him. And they had thousands of agents, and they scourged the area, and they couldn't find one single individual that helped him. Now, albeit, he did, as Kevin said, he would go to trash bins and he would break into cabins. George Nordman did not help him.
George Nordman owned the truck that Eric Rudolph ended up driving and having an encounter with.
Yeah, the truck was broken and he hotwired it and took off, and quickly the truck was stopped and it broke down. And also there was a gas issue, and Eric then hid into a trench. And it was freezing cold, and he was dressed in fatigues and warm clothes. And when the police pulled over, they got him out, and he had no identification, nothing. And they did, in fact, let him go and actually took him to a place where he could get some gas. The other thing he did that I thought was very interesting was that he learned how to survive, what not to eat. You know, that can kill you in the woods. But he knew what not to eat, what to eat. He was able to eat salamanders, and he was able to fish and hunt to some extent. But one of the most interesting things that I remember he and I talking about was he would climb these very large bins, and he would get beans and grains and other things like that a survivalist would want. He would bag them up, and then he would take them with him. And then he would basically learn how to preserve them, along with the fruits of his hunting and fishing, by putting them, sealing them, and putting them way down in the water, which was pretty actually ingenious on his part. So it depends on what your definition of a survivalist is, and I don't claim to be one, but he was as close to it as one could get without formal training.
In the last minute that we have, Richard, you know, during his time in confinement, Eric Rudolph has written a number of blogs, even a book and essays that are posted, and many of them condone and even encourage, in some cases, violence. Do you feel it was the justice served for Eric Rudolph to get 4 consecutive life sentences and not the death penalty?
Well, it's 2 different questions. But one, it's unfortunate that he is still espousing those radical, extreme, and violent beliefs. But it's not for me to decide whether justice was served, because one of the victims, the wife of the police officer that was killed by Eric in Birmingham, which was the death penalty offense, she was against the death penalty, at least for him. And so it was much more complex than asking the question of was justice served. That's for others to decide, and depends on your views on the death penalty and your views on him as a person. Because Eric Rudolph was more than the horrific, inexcusable, and atrocious acts that he committed. And one of your guests was addressing the question of why, and she had some interesting insights in it.
Yeah.
But I can't say whether justice was served.
That is Richard Jaffe, attorney who defended Olympic Park bomber Eric Rudolph. Richard, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Celeste.